Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we were in Michigan, I told you about that last week, but when we were in Michigan, Harry and I were staying in what was actually an old, abandoned, deserted community where 1,200 people once lived. Now there are about 15. It is a ghost town. But that means it's also that it's really dark at night. There are no city lights there. There are no street lights in the yard or on the corner. It is really dark. So that meant that there would be stars in the sky. With no lights to wash out God's beautiful night lights. So late one night, my son Luke and I decided that we would go out the back door, out onto the back stoop. You wouldn't really call it a porch, but it was there. It was a place we could walk out and stand with the rails around us. And we looked up. It was astonishing how many stars there were, how incredibly full of light the night sky was. Absolutely full of little points of light, so many that they were almost indistinct from each other. And they were set into constellation patterns that I wished I knew. You know, people used to know those constellations as well as they knew their flower gardens. They had names for them. They guided their steps by them. And standing there on that porch, looking up, it was easy, in fact, to see the chalky white streak that was the Milky Way. I had only seen the Milky Way once, and it was when I was on a mission trip in a rural part of Honduras. Once again, there were no lights, no street lights, no city lights. It was just the lights of the sky. Once, when Harry and I had the kids in the car and we had decided it was clever to drive at night, right, so the kids would sleep or whatever, but they didn't. So we're driving from Tampa or St. Peter, wherever we lived, up to Dalton, Georgia. So we're driving through rural Georgia. You know, most people get on the interstate, but not Harry Ellis. If you want to go with him, you have to go where he goes. So here we are, driving somewhere near Camilla, Georgia. And the kids are picking on each other. And I noticed out the window that the sky was full of stars. And I said, "Harry, stop. Pull over, stop, get off the road." He thought something was wrong. He pulls off the road. I said, "Everybody out." The kids said, "What?" I said, get out of the car." They got out. I said, "Look up." They said, "What?" I said, "Look up." They go, "Can we get back in the car now?" I said, "Look up." All they wanted to do was get back in the car. That's all they wanted to do. I think it's sad that we miss this incredible sight in the cities and the suburbs in which most of us live because we aren't used to seeing the stars anymore. Anyway, standing on that Michigan porch brought to mind this wonderful verse in Psalm 139 as the psalmist speaks to God and says, "Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day. Darkness is as light to you." You see, literally, that Michigan sky is God's creation. Not dark, but as bright as the day. That sky was evidence for me of God's handiwork of creation. Evidence just as vivid as the beauty of the beach at Reddington Shores, or the hilltops of the Smoky Mountains, or the colors of a sunset after a storm. And God knew I was going to preach this sermon, so coming across the Courtney Campbell Causeway this morning, there was a rainbow right across the sky, and God knows how much I see the divine hand, the Creator's hand in a rainbow. So today I celebrate that midnight moment in Michigan, but I also celebrate the moments that you and I can take to marvel at God's world, at the gift of God's creation. For it's so easy to stay too busy to notice, to want to get back in the car, to want to not be out on the stoop outside the house. It's easy to be too busy to notice, but don't. That's my charge to you today. Don't forget to notice. Frederick Buechner, a great preacher and teacher, tells this story. I'm reading his words. Late one winter afternoon, as I was walking to a class that I had to teach, this was up in Vermont, I think, I noticed the beginnings of what promised to be one of the great local sunsets. The sky was starting to burn, and the bare trees were black as soot against it. And when I got to the classroom, all the lights were on, of course, and the students were all chattering. On an impulse, I snapped off the classroom lights. The room faced west, so as soon as it went dark, everything disappeared except what we could see through the windows. And there it was, the entire sky on fire by then, like the end of the world, or the beginning of the world. The silence was as complete as you can get it in a room full of people, and we all sat there unmoving for as long as it took the extraordinary spectacle to fade slowly away. For over 20 minutes, nobody spoke a word. Nobody did anything. We just sat there in the near dark and watched one day of our lives come to an end. Buechner adds, what was great was the unbusyness of it. It was taking unlabeled, unallotted time just to look, with maybe more than our eyes, at what was wonderfully there to be looked at, without any obligation to think any constructive thoughts about it or to turn it to any useful purpose later. We were bound together there, simply by the fact of our being human and by our splendid insignificance in the face of what was going on out there through the window. So that's what my moment on the Michigan back porch was like. A reminder of God's creation and my tiny place in it. My insignificance in the face of all that was visible there in that amazing night sky. And yet, insignificant as I may feel in a situation like that, I do have a place in this creation, as do each of you here. After all, we are creations ourselves, made by God, loved by God. Not because of the color of our skin, not because of the language or languages we speak, not because of the money we have in our bank account or the number of years we've been in school or the country we live in, not even because of our religious or political affiliation. We are made. We are loved by God simply because we belong to and were created by a loving God. God is love. And we are the products of that love. In my neighborhood this week, a small bird fell out of its nest. It was about maybe the size of my fist, maybe not that big. It was chirping softly in the grass as I walked our dog Marley down the street. It was hopping, and it looked like it was looking for its mom or its nest or something, and I couldn't help that little bird. After all, I had Marley, my 50-pound dog, on a leash, and I had no ladder at hand, and I had no idea where the nest was anyway. I only hoped that someone else would come along and provide help for that little guy, that little tiny hopping bird. And I remembered how Lee sang about that last week. God's eye is on the sparrow. God's eye surely was on that little bird. For just as I am a creation of God, so is the smallest of birds and the smallest of the things in creation. God's eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. I want to lift up for us today how God loves this creation and how I believe God intends for us to notice the creation, to appreciate, to care for, and to love it also. Even as we grapple with increasingly urgent evidence of climate change, this creation that God has made needs our attention and our love. And I also want to lift up for us that we are part of that creation, you and I. We are made by God. We are loved by God. Never doubt that. Never doubt that. Not even when the days get long for us, for you, for me. Not even when our resources get so slim we're not sure how we'll make it. Not even when hope seems to falter, because that happens. Psalm 139, verse 7 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence?" It sounds to me as if the psalmist had at times wanted to flee from God's presence, to disappear, wanted to be where God could not find him, wanted to just drop into a hole. And I don't know if you have ever had that experience, but people do. Why do you suppose? Would that be depression? Or shame? Or guilt? Or physical pain that can sap your energy? Or maybe just exhaustion because life is so hard? Why would any of us, That question is out there. Why would any of us want to hide from God? I invite you to ponder, imagine what might make that feel like the best course, an attractive option. But the psalmist sings about it in this psalm. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. I remember once when my roommate Paula and I we were in Scotland. We had spent the night in a youth hostel in West Scotland. Any of you been in West Scotland? It's way out there. West Scotland. Whoa, mountainous. Wow. We spent the night in this youth hostel, and we were planning to catch a steamer the next day for the island of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides. The steamer left at noon, so we had plenty of time. But while we cleaned up after our breakfast, Alistair, one of the other hostelers, said to us, "You do know that boat leaves at 10:30, don't you?" What? 10:30? Paula and I took off, grabbing our backpacks and our duffel bags and moving as fast as our limble 20-year-old legs would take us. And that was pretty fast, but we were on our way. And I remember having this feeling that God was grinning at me. God was saying, Jenny, you wanted to go to Lewis, and you were running late, so I sent Alistair to tell you the boat schedule. And now I'm going to clear your path so there won't be any obstacles, but you're going to need to keep moving and then enjoy the journey. And remember to trust me. Because you see, the very foundation of faith is simply that. It is trust. God doesn't care so much what concepts we believe and how well we adhere to dogma. I believe that with all my soul. What God wants is for us to trust. And that's why I wanted to share this song with you, Come as a Child. I appreciate Allison singing it with me because it gave me a little more confidence. It's a really pretty song, I think, but really the words are what's important. They are haunting to me because the song is about trust and acceptance and eagerness, those traits that children have. Smiles of eagerness, greeting each new day as a special gift of love, having an open mind, being humble, looking for the spark of holy light. That's what children do. And the pitfalls that catch us as we age, they're in that song too, being old and gray or sick and tired. I was remembering when James Garner once said he was ill and exhausted. He was sick and tired is what he was. We can become too satisfied or too proud or too wise in our own estimation or too dignified. Just plain old uninspired. That's what can trap us as we age. You know, as we reach 21, 22, 23, 35. You all have, most of you gotten there. Yeah, right. Just think what it would have been like to sit in that classroom of Professor Buechner with the light snapped off and the sky on fire with the sunset. Just think of how that very black star-spangled sky in Michigan or South Georgia or Honduras proclaim the handiwork of the Creator. Just think of what it's like to be a child, to sing and play and dance, to be ready to be surprised, to be ready to lift your wings and soar. For of such, my friends, is the kingdom. For of such is the kingdom. Come as a child. Remember? That's what we found at the foot of that tombstone that we had to do a rubbing of to read the letters. And these letters were down below the grass level. A tombstone left 143 years ago for my great-grandmother's little sisters, Elizabeth and Sarah. Come as a child, for of such is the kingdom. Where can we go from God's Spirit? Where can we flee from God's presence? Probably not West Scotland. Probably not here on the west coast of Florida either, because, my friends, God knows where we are. God knows who we are and the things going on in our lives. God knows us. And even the darkness glows light with God. And I believe we can be truly grateful. Let us pray. Oh God, maybe it's not dark enough to see all those stars and constellations in the sky and the Milky Way above us. But we can see the rainbows and the sunsets and the dolphins out in the water. Remind us to set aside our busyness sometimes to look, to see what you have made, and to remember that you made us, you made this world, and you placed us here. To enjoy it to appreciate it, to make a difference. Help us to find the darkness, to be as light with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.